Good morning. It's 8:32. Let the record reflect that this is the Economic Development Committee meeting for Wednesday, August 6, 2025. And in attendance is Councillor Burgess, Councillor Weiline, and Councillor Moe. Item two on the agenda is to consider the minutes of the April 23rd, 2025 Economic Development Committee meeting. Any questions? A motion to approve them?
I would move to approve.
Second, Weiline.
All right, all in favor? Aye.
Aye.
All right. Item three on the agenda is a presentation for Think Iowa City, but we're going to change the order of the agenda a little bit and have Rachel present the Arts Alliance feasibility study first.
Okay, good morning, counselors. So as you know, each year you have traditionally or historically awarded funding to certain arts and culture organizations through the Economic Development Committee. So because of that, we wanted to just give you an update on the Arts Alliance feasibility study process that's happening and kind of where we're at and what those goals are. So this will just be pretty brief, but I want to keep you informed and allow you an opportunity to ask questions. So the study is sponsored by the Iowa City Downtown District, Think Iowa City, and the City of Iowa City. They hired Group Creative Services out of Des Moines, who's worked on several other arts and culture master planning type of projects throughout the state of Iowa. And the goal of the study is to really evaluate the need for an Iowa City Arts Alliance and identify what those risks, opportunities, and factors for success would be with an alliance, what the organizational model and structure of an alliance could look like, funding strategies, membership criteria, who's kind of in, the proposed scope of activities and services that an alliance would focus on, and then a roadmap for the next 5 years. If an alliance were to be formed, what are those initial operational needs and priorities it would tackle? So this is who's all on the steering committee, a nice representation of different arts and culture stakeholders in the community. I think what's notable about this group is that many of these have been involved in kind of past iterations of this effort or this conversation, at least. So they all kind of have that context. But I think this time, because of the study and all of the buy-in, it seems like there's more significant momentum and buy-in. So the phase one interview list was very lengthy. I couldn't list it all here, but in general, it included economic development and local government partners, potential donors or active donors in the community, individual artists. There were 16 other arts and culture organizations who were not represented on that steering committee. So everything from large, well-funded, like the Stanley Museum, to smaller, you know, venues and you know, more underground organizations. There were several other just arts supporters, advocates, and stakeholders on that list, and then 11 nonprofit groups or foundations. So kind of the timeline that Group Creative provided in their RFP response, phase one was really focused on those focus groups, interviews, an online survey, and then some initial work with that steering committee. Phase two, which we just wrapped up, was to work on identifying and analyzing the emerging themes that came out of that phase one discovery, and then kind of another steering committee check-in to help direct that. And then in phase three, next, the consultant will be evaluating different scenarios and alternatives for an arts alliance, so including all those details I mentioned, like the funding, the structure, the scope, and then they'll bring that back to the steering committee to further refine. And then by phase four, that's where they'll develop that final preferred scenario, refine, and create a final report that will be delivered to the public. So. And then I also believe they have a PR campaign that's included if an alliance were to move forward. So what this probably means for you, I think it's safe to assume if an alliance is recommended that municipal involvement will be requested. So what that looks like, have no idea, but there's a lot of, I think, intersecting conversations at this time, both at our funding levels here on the Economic Development Committee, your lost conversations, even TIF, anything like that. So not sure what to expect, but I think we can expect there will be some sort of ask for involvement with that recommendation. So I mentioned that phase two the phase two emerging themes is what just wrapped up. So these are just some of the main takeaways that came out of that phase. So the guiding principles really focused on collaboration over competition, the preservation of kind of individual artists and organization autonomy, not just one organization that's making decisions or setting rules. Inclusivity and accessibility, making sure that if an alliance is formed, it is very action-oriented and it's nimble to respond to changing needs. And then what's really important to the group is that it has professional staff leading the effort, not just committee-led. Some of the priorities that came out of the first couple phases for the alliance to focus on would be helping to foster financial stability and sustainability for arts organizations and artists, enhancing more collaboration and connectivity between the different groups, being that unified advocacy voice when it's needed, addressing collective needs that all of the different organizations may have and could be better served with one, well-resourced organization helping to address those, building capacity for artists and organizations, again, promoting inclusivity and accessibility, and then ensuring that there's effective leadership and accountability at the head. And some of the concerns that the group and the consultant have identified, just to be aware of as they move forward in this process, of course, starting too fast and too broad. They don't want to be duplicating existing efforts. They don't want to become just another organization, quote unquote. They, again, want to focus on that maintaining the individuality of members. Organizations are very concerned about funding cannibalization, and so want to make sure they're being mindful about the different funding streams and each organization's current strategy. Planning paralysis, geographic overreach, that kind of goes along with starting too fast, too broad, I think. Balancing diverse needs and inclusive challenges. The public perception gap between Iowa City has this very rich history of arts and culture, but maybe is not always seen as an arts community from some sectors, so there may be that gap that could be addressed. And then thinking about arts education and how that leads to audience development. So if someone, the example the consultant gave was if someone starts taking guitar lessons, they may be more interested to branch out to different performances in the community. And that's something the organizations talk a lot about too, is encouraging their audience to try new things. So again, just wanted to do kind of a short overview so you're kind of aware of what's happening. That's kind of where we're at right now. And so now the consultant will be taking all of that feedback and looking at case studies in other communities and then developing a few scenarios for the steering committee to look at. So that'll happen in the next couple months. And I think by October is when we can expect a final report. And I don't know, we just have to wait and see what those recommendations are. I don't know if that would come to this committee or the full city council. I think it kind of depends on, if and what ask would be in there for the city. Any questions? I can do my best to answer them. I'm not the consultant.
No. I actually had my three questions were why the steering committee looks like a wonderful list of partners in Iowa City. I did not see the University of Iowa. Okay, I didn't see them on the list that was presented. That's why I was. Did I just not read it?
There's different university departments. Okay. Yeah, School of Music. Jen Knights is the Performing Arts Communications Manager. Okay. Andre Perry.
Oh wow! I'm sorry.
There's different departments represented.
Okay. And I'm curious. I mean, they have their own internal sort of arts mechanisms that they use to promote Iowa City as a destination. I'm curious, like how our local arts organizations like interface with them or interact with them.
With the university partners?
Yeah, I mean, they seem to be a lot of the same people. As somebody who attends a lot of events, I see a lot of overlap between the both attendees and the people sometimes even performing or maybe instructing. I'm sorry that I missed the fact that there are three names on here that are associated with the University of Iowa, but I'll move on. Sorry. The other thing I wanted to do is the address, I had a question about addressing collaborative needs. And I'm curious to learn more about what those collaborative needs are. Is it like fundraising or administrative needs, or what were the some of the needs that were raised as the highest?
Yeah, priorities? I think those are both good examples. You know, on the fundraising aspect, they talked again a lot about just maintaining what their existing streams of fundraising are and not overreaching in a way that would some of these organizations, you know, a majority of their budget relies on
donor support.
Yeah, donor support. Yeah. So, just being mindful of that and kind of going forward, again, I think as these different scenarios are developed, it will help us identify what those initial funding needs are. And maybe it's one big kickoff campaign. Maybe there's not a campaign at all. It just, I think we don't know that yet. So that was one topic of conversation. But I think some of those administrative benefit sharing is another example. One of the steering committee members gave an example of a recent conference he attended, and they shared, I can't remember what it was, it may have been like human resources support of some kind, and the cost savings was kind of staggering for what they had. So I think that's another example.
Okay. And then the last question I had was, I noticed that under emerging trends, communicating with our public perception was listed as an emerging theme. Do you know, was there a lot of conversation about how this group, would the Arts Alliance have a responsibility for communicating why art is good for community building and economic development both? Or is that, that's what I read into public perception. Am I on the right track of that's what they mean by public perception? Or is it more just marketing us as an arts destination?
I think it's probably both. The kind of making the case for the economic and community benefits maybe would fall more under that advocacy pillar, okay. But not necessarily. There's overlap. But they've both been topics of conversation.
Okay.
Where they fall, I think, doesn't matter.
On the question of this group and our annual funding relating to arts organizations, can you say a little bit more about what you envision this process and that, how they might work together? Like, is there, you know, instead of the individual, you know, grants, we are thinking it may be something different, or have we gotten that far yet?
Yeah, I probably don't have a satisfying answer. I don't know. Like, I'm curious to see what the consultant brings, because I don't know what's out there and what those models will look like. But that may be the case. I think because of the timing this year, we won't get that final report till October. We may kind of, again, need to move forward at status quo. But if something changes, you know, that budget process is long. Maybe our actions change too. But I mean, I think it's possible if you know, the arts community says, hey, we want this alliance that represents us to decide how that funding is allocated, then that'll be your decision point.
Mm-hmm. I think just pulling together a few different themes, the question of, so the shared services issue, like the HR example that you gave, Rachel, I think there's a lot of conversations that are happening, and I think the Greater Iowa City, I don't remember the name of the program, but the business support hub that's being activated certainly can play into that. Do you know if the consultant and the group are already thinking about, like, how, I guess where my brain is going is when you have additional efficiencies, that often translates to, oh, we don't need as much money anymore, and then, you know, it can actually have sort of the opposite impact that people might be hoping for. Is that something that's been raised? Do you know?
Well, we had this a bit of this conversation at the last steering committee meeting, and the angle was actually more like if we're cost savings in these areas, then perhaps our impacting our fundraising doesn't matter as much. And so then we can fundraise as a collective more for new and different or expanded things.
And then my last question was just, do you know how the X Marks the Arts sort of branding initiative relates to the Alliance question?
I imagine it would be integrated in some way. So as you may know, the state eliminated the cultural and entertainment districts, including Iowa cities. So we will continue to advertise as X Marks or brand as X Marks the Arts for now. That group is kind of where some of this
began. That's where I'm seeing a lot of overlap. Yeah.
So you'll see a lot of the same people in those groups. And I think right now, really, X Marks the Arts is focused on the Arts Alliance feasibility study.
That makes sense. Thank you.
Any questions from you, Councillor Wylie?
That was going to be my question.
Okay. Okay. Well, we'll certainly keep you updated as it moves forward. Would love to, have the consultant present or something. But like I said, it we'll have to wait and see what those recommendations are and if it makes sense to go to the full council or just this group.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Well, should we step back to item three, the presentation of Think Iowa City's new strategic plan? Welcome, Josh Schoenberger from Think Iowa City.
Thank you. I'm happy to answer any of that Arts Alliance stuff, too. We pretty much funded the X Marks the Arts campaign, so it's an important study that's taking place. We actually created an alliance when I first got here, and it ran very, very strong for many years, but it started to deteriorate when leadership in the arts and culture organizations at that time in the corridor either retired or moved along, and it got handed down to middle management, lower management, who wasn't quite as maybe experienced or versed in some of this vision and this strategic doing. So it's great to see we're back maybe heading up a hill versus going down a hill on those sorts of things and doing it just in our community as opposed to trying to go a little bit too far maybe with the Cedar Rapids area. So thanks for the time this morning. I know I was just here a few months back in April giving an overview of the overall organization, Think Iowa City and the Iowa City Air Sports Commission, and we recently finished off our strategic plan for the next 3 years. We kind of got into doing 3 years, and really it's almost like a one-year strategic plan with the state of what the world looks like and who can really predict in 5 years. So we really focused on the priorities and needs of the coming 18 to 36 months to see where our area, our resources, our area of influence can be directed to best serve the overall community. And so we involved close to 100 people involved in this process. I know several council members were involved in our breakout sessions and with our board and our community, and ultimately led to the ratification of our strategic plan, which took place at the very end of June. We're in the process right now of meeting as a staff and an operational team to sort of actionize these strategic plans and put them in our annual work plan and business plan efforts and start to move the needle on these priorities that have been identified for the overall community. So before I just kind of outline some of those strategic initiatives, I wanted to just touch on a few of the slides I presented back in April. Do I click that or? Oh, I do the mouse here. I'm sorry. So just as a reminder, we are the Convention and Visitors Bureau, or the acronym we go by these days across the country is DMO, Destination Marketing Organization, for the overall community, Iowa City, Coralville, North Liberty, University Heights, the county, so to speak, even though the county doesn't really fund us. They don't have hotels. We're largely funded by hotel motel tax, which was created many, many decades ago, and it was actually passed here in Iowa City in Coralville in 1979, 1980. So there's an additional 7% tax that goes on hotel rooms by state law. 50% of that tax has to be spent on tourism efforts, quality of life, and 25% of that. Actually, in Iowa City, it's about 23% goes to fund our organizations. In Coralville, North Liberty, and University Heights, it's 25%. The 2% difference there is an arrangement that was done to build the Hilton Garden Inn and Element in a bit of a hotel motel tax rebate to spur development on Hieronymus Square many years ago. And that has a sunset, I believe, in the next 5 years or so. So our organization is primarily visitors, putting people in hotel rooms, bringing folks to the community for economic impact, short-term economic impact, as opposed to my colleagues there sitting in the audience, in the big audience today, who are from Greater Iowa City, who are focused a lot more on long-term economic development efforts, business recruitment, retention, those sorts of things. Oh, sorry, mouse. This, I gave this slide, if they believe you've seen it, I'm happy to go through any of this again. We have a board, Mayor Teague sits on our board by our bylaws. The mayor of Iowa City occupies the seat on our board of directors. So we have a council member from each one. Actually, they rotate through the executive committee. Our current chair is Jake Moore, who's a leader with Green State Credit Union. Mayor Foster is actually in line to be the chair next year. Staff and all of these hotel motel tax, obviously goods are spent dramatically in Iowa City and Coralville. And this will be, we're actually pulling together all the data right now as it relates to lost, because a huge chunk of the lost revenue is going to come from visitors. Over $680 million was spent last year in Johnson County from visitors. So a substantial amount of tax revenue coming in and paid for by people that don't live here. So just into the strategic plan here, and I can go through all this, and I'll be happy to leave time for questions and answers here. But really, as I mentioned, we did quite a bit of surveying. We hired Zeitgeist or DMO Pros, who have done many strategic plans for organizations like ours. They're based out of Wisconsin. They're largely run by very long-term and respected CEOs that started their own company about 25 years ago and have done many of these. They've been involved in our organization's strategic plan in the past. And really, when we asked them to move this forward, it wasn't about creating something new. It was more about coming in and checking the oil and finding out where the community sits today and where the priorities are. There's been many times councils and community leaders have appreciated our nimbleness, particularly during COVID, because we can move a lot more quickly and fastly and organize groups and efforts to respond to community needs in a week, as opposed to government, which has to move a little bit more slowly. So that's really what we were asking the leadership of the facilitators to do here, was to do a bit of an oil check and identify where there are other needs, our area of influence and sphere can impact the community for the greater good. At the end of the day, we are responsible for sustaining and growing hotel motel tax for the community, and we're the one entity that receives hotel motel tax that actually does that. And so it's obviously becoming a more and more important revenue stream for cities, particularly in our area, for those funds. So we take our responsibility strongly in sustaining and growing that fund for each of the cities each year. So as we work through the strategic plan, there's just three or four goals that really rose to the top. The first one is obviously the one that continues to be there, and that's to advocate for continued destination-enhancing development. I should say the first three or four pages of this packet I put in front of you, and Jeff, I've got another one. I've got three other copies. If you and Katie and McKenzie want to take these three extra copies, or pass one down over there as well. I guess I could pull it up on the slide, too. We have it up here. Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah. Yeah, these first pages just give a little bit of backstory. I think the second one is important to note. I can't read that. You know, our strategic plan pillars will continue to remain the same. Innovative sales and marketing, all the efforts that we do for securing conferences, securing amateur sports. The bread and butter business of hotel stays is first and foremost our priority. Authentic placemaking, identifying areas that we can continue to support, particularly communities, whether that be Iowa River Landing in Coralville or Centennial Park in North Liberty or Riverfront Crossings or the Downtown District and the SMID, these strategic investment districts that the Greater IC and playing a support role to that strong leadership team, LOST, supporting and campaigning on those efforts to all of that ties into placemaking and what makes our community great. Intentional community engagement is our third pillar, and really just making sure that we did a better job in letting the community know who we are and what we do. That's not something we were great at 10, 15 years ago, because we quite honestly just didn't seem to care. We only cared about the councils and the leadership knowing what we do and that we're making a strong return on investment. But the more and more we've been able to community engage, the more and more opportunities arise. A perfect example of this is the African Folk Art Festival, which, because of who we are and what we do, you know, Sunday and his team came about 8 weeks before their festival last year, which gave me a little bit of a heart attack that they wanted to put on this amazing festival. And I'm like, this is not going to work. But we took a flyer and were their major sponsor and provided them some resources. And I think it was the highlight, coolest festival of the year last year. And so doubling down on that again this year. But those all things happen from intentional community engagement. And so we'll continue to play a role there in all aspects of our community. And then obviously sustainable organization. We need to make sure we have tools and strategies in place to for the long term. The very last section of the strategic plan is succession planning, which is really good because I'm not going to be here forever, and I've been here a little while, and I see the end of the horizon at some point. I need to make sure it's set up for continued growth and sustainability. So you can read that at your leisure, all that, and I'll be happy to answer questions. But going back into the just the highlight goals there, destination enhancing development, A and B are really tie into sports facilities, which have been tremendous for this community. The amount of, we're really set up just so well for it from an asset, and really a shift happened probably in the 2016 to 2018 era when we saw the university being a little bit more aggressive in wanting to offer up their sporting facilities for outside groups. That really opened the door for us, in addition to the arena that was being built in Coralville and provided an opportunity for us to get in and access and use Carver Hawkeye Arena a little bit more, use some of these rec facilities, the Hawkeye Tennis and Rec Facility. Another example is another recent win, and you know, this November will mark the first year that the Girls State Swimming and Diving Championships are downtown. We can use the pool. So all of these things were pointed towards us investing more aggressively in creating a sports commission, which we did, and the return has been substantial. I mean, the number of sporting events that come here on an annual basis, which translate to hotel rooms and visitors and people in restaurants, is absolutely substantial. So continuing to look for opportunities there. There was certainly one thing that came that rose to the top a few times, and that is, you know, with the continued growth of that hockey team, the Heartlanders, and only one sheet of ice in the mall, there's a strong desire for us to identify opportunities maybe to somewhere, shape or form, add a second sheet of ice to this community, because it truly is booked all the time. There's games happening at 10, 11 p.m. at night, much like what happens at the HTRC with baseball games and soccer games at that late at night over at the university facility. So identifying where there's opportunities to develop additional and complementary tournament grade facilities, and continue to capitalize on the rich sports heritage. There's a reason why we host five girls state tournaments, and it's because in this community we've obviously demonstrated a strong commitment to support and invest into girls and women's athletics, and we're incredibly proud of that. Prioritize, this one is no surprise too, on page 5, the top objective C is to prioritize opportunities to reclaim the river and riverfront. That rose to the top repeatedly for us in our position as a little bit of a community, as a community organization, as opposed to just this city or just Coralville or just North Liberty or Hills, to facilitate collaboration and cooperation amongst the river. And really, we've already begun that work with Katie and Better Together 2030, and we've taken ownership of Pillar One. We're in the process right now of Nick Pfeiffer and our team is really taking this as the lead and working with the university and encouraging all of the various master plans and community improvement plans from the cities and streamlining that and looking where there's opportunities for us to present ourselves as a single entity and take advantage of those funding mechanisms. So we will continue to do that, be very aggressive on it. We actually changed our bylaws recently to provide some additional resources and support at the board level to bring on some folks specifically for the river, so we can bring people on to really make sure that we're continuing to lead that over the next 3 to 5 years. And continue to support creation of museums of attractions that underscore brand essence. Certainly, we're well aware of the effort that's being done by Brent Stinsky and others to provide a greater magnifying glass to the city's designation of a city of literature. It's obviously a different administration right now and much more challenging to move those sorts of things forward at the university level, but also at a UNESCO national or international level. But we're continued to fully commit to identify ways to strengthen and grow that brand and the opportunities that can come from it, particularly in Iowa City, but the overall community. Goal two is to support initiatives to enhance the destination experience. We'll continue to support the development and growth of events and festivals as a magnet to attract visitors to the region, particularly those that authentically align with our brand as a community and the things that we value, our sort of core competencies and core attributes that make us the envy of many across the region and certainly the state. So we'll identify and really streamline grant opportunities and guidelines for the programs that we have to invest into those festivals and areas that are truly rooted in diversity, equity, inclusion, all of those things. So it's who we are, and we're not intending in any way, shape, or form to change. We think long term we'll be on the right side of history on those things. So. Continue to support the arts and culture community to maximize the region's brand identity. We continue to do a lot of that already. I believe about 20% or so of our marketing dollars go directly to support these efforts. We do a lot with the Iowa City Downtown District. As I mentioned, we funded the X Marks the Arts campaign. We do all of the public art sponsorships for the Downtown District that have happened. We funded those, and we'll continue to do those across the region. C really came up a few times, and that is a role we can play in advocating for enhanced transportation options for visitors and residents alike. I know that that's important to several of you, particularly of the council that are sitting here at the table. So continuing to identify where there's opportunities to improve those sort of systems will be a priority for us, whether it be air service or that sort of regional system. And then certainly trails. One of the things that's a real priority for us that we have on our wish list that we've had for a while is to continue to work with the Parks and Rec departments to streamline the signage and wayfinding amongst all trails in the community to where it all looks like a single system. And really the only difference is when you're in one particular city, maybe the colors of the sign change. But it'll tell you if you're in North Liberty that you're 2 miles or 3 miles from Iowa City and vice versa and things like that. Continue to support enhanced destination experience throughout the region. Obviously this falls into line with like what's happened in Iowa River Landing with the Riverfront Crossings District, with South Assist District, all of the good work that's again happening at the Strategic Investment Districts. I believe the third and final meeting of that is today. Iowa City, right? Corville, yeah, yesterday was Iowa City. And what's that?
It's all blending.
Yeah, they're all three. They were back to back to back. So we'll continue to play a role that's needed there and a strong support role to the good leadership of Nancy and Katie and McKenzie and their team. Our second goal is to develop organizational excellence in in capacity, I mean, I should say our third goal. We'll continue to communicate our role and the impact of Think Iowa City to residents. This again falls into that intentional community engagement sort of bucket, really getting folks to better understand what we do, the impact we have, and how we can be accessible. So when you have ideas, or for whether it be for development, we certainly have been proven to be able to play that connector role between residents and communities and leadership like yourself and organizations that really drive those particular initiatives. We'll continue, obviously, responsibly to investigate opportunities to grow our budget and capacity and continue to provide additional resources to the programs and individuals that we serve. And then the last one, as I teed up earlier, was we'll make sure that we have, over these next 3 years, this very strong succession plan for not just my position, but really our leadership position. We have really strong people. I believe you know probably most of them that are our senior leadership team. We call it our SLT, they're younger than me. Now, some of them not as younger, but they'll be. We'll make sure we have succession plan and the proper protocols in place for when it's time for them to move along or do something different as well. So we'll keep them certainly as long as we can for the community. That's very quick, as fast as I could go on it. I didn't want to take too much time. I know we're already at 9:10, so I wanted to make sure I leave plenty of time for questions either on this, or I could go back to the other slide and just some of the history of this past 12 months, what we've been up to.
I'll speak into the microphone. I was wondering, you mentioned earlier, and this is just a curiosity, what metric do we use to, how do we know that people from out of town are the ones spending money? Is it like credit card stuff?
Yeah.
Is it like, what type of data are we looking at?
We have actually quite a few tools that we measure that with that are software applications out there. We are able to get credit card data, and
okay,
we basically take out the zip codes that are located in Johnson County. So we consider somebody from Marion a visitor.
Yeah.
That's coming down here and spending dollars. So there's various programs. Monica and our team works closely with Evan at Greater Iowa City that can pull this data and get exact expenditures from people that don't reside in this community. We also use, I refer to it in its simplest form as like a Big Brother cell phone technology. It's called Placer, which really identifies if you stayed here and you have a cell phone that has any app that you haven't turned off tracking. Mm-hmm. We're able to see that you don't reside in this community. And if you came to an event, so to speak, like Girls State Volleyball or Girls mm-hmm. State Wrestling, or when we do it at Girls State Swimming and Diving, once they're here and they don't reside here and we're able to capture their data and they're at one place for, I believe it's 10 or 15 minutes, we can start tracking them. And when they leave this HTR suite, swimming, diving, we know where they went to eat in downtown Iowa City or what hotel they're at.
Yeah.
And that's really good intel, because for leisure marketing and some of those things, we're able to identify where our strong markets at. People coming from Des Moines, people coming from Madison, Peoria, that are spending a weekend here. So there's a number of tools, particularly in conferences and sporting events. We track that data really, really good, because we know there's 420 people signed up at this conference. We know exactly how many hotel rooms they have, what the rate is, and we have other algorithms that tell us what their visitor spend is, what their average spending are in food, their party size. Anytime you want to come over and really deep dive nerd out with Monica and data, we'd love to have you come over.
That would be awesome.
You could see it all.
Because I feel like, you know, with the conversation with Lost coming up, like, that'll be essential to education.
Yep.
I feel like people want to know how much, you know, they'll be benefiting from other folks from out of the community.
Yep.
It's just a huge part of the equation. So, I would love to come nerd out with somebody.
Yep.
Over that data.
Please.
And
Kurt, their assistant, is already getting all of that right now from Nick Pfeiffer, so he'll have some really good data. We're trying to bring it down to not just the county, which is really where it ends. We're trying to break it down to the cities,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
to where just what Iowa City's getting. Coralville is substantial because of the mix over there,
mm-hmm.
for sales tax collections.
Oh, yeah.
Trying to break it down so Loss can take, this is what Iowa City's got, Coralville and North Liberty. We'll see if we can get that done.
Mm-hmm. Another question I had was regarding airfare and increasing air
service.
Air service to like CID.
Mm-hmm.
We had some discussions previously. You know, I learned a lot when it came to how these deals are made regionally when it comes to bringing new airlines,
mm-hmm.
Expanding routes. And one thing that I thought was interesting is that regions are, a lot of the airline companies ask regions to guarantee a minimum level of profit for them.
Mm-hmm.
So we end up having to either earmark or put up a certain amount of money in the case that they don't make their profit.
Mm-hmm.
So I was just wondering, when it comes to making educated decisions on whether or not these are going to be beneficial for us or be something that we shouldn't touch, you know, that's after I learned that that's something that I've been struggling with, you know, how to make an educated decision on whether or not this is going to be a benefit.
Yep. Well, this is an area I'm really strongly versed in.
Okay.
Because I was on the Airport Commission. I was the first Johnson County resident to sit on the Eastern Iowa Airport Commission for the inaugural 7 years we had a position. And then I handed it off to Steve West, who recently handed it off after his 7 years to Robin Thurm with CIVCO, who now is the Johnson County liaison to the Eastern Iowa Airport Commission. And so I'm very familiar with how the process works. And it really started back in my time, which was when we were, Cedar Rapids Airport was getting their butt kicked by Moline on rate and fares. And it was largely because they had an airline down there called AirTran, which was being subsidized annually with a check from John Deere to keep the rates low and keep that airline, low-cost area in Moline, which was causing a big problem for Cedar Rapids. So then the mayor of Cedar Rapids called and said, we're getting our butt kicked. We need Johnson County to recognize that we're an Iowa airport, not fly out of an Illinois airport. So I joined, and we learned about how that worked. And then over the years, there was other opportunities. There was a real strong effort to get a gate in Washington, D.C. But the airlines, you know, they needed to be incentivized, and Eastern Iowa Airport was really particular at that point and serious about maybe even buying a gate so that way they could have it all the time and then putting an airline in it. That didn't really work out, that sort of strategy. And this recent one, which I'm very familiar with, has an opportunity to open up a very strong market for Eastern Iowa Airport, and they are asking for a guarantee. But the data that goes into identifying whether that guarantee will be used is really, really strong. When I was on the commission, we were looking at DC, they're able to tell from their data how many airline tickets are purchased each day with an ending destination in Reagan or Dulles. And at that point, it was 63 people per day on average were flying to that market from Rockwell Collins and the University of Iowa. And I remember that, and we looked at the guarantee. We're like, well, we have a couple years' worth of history saying there's over 60. That's more than enough for a plane. We feel pretty confident in the guarantee. They've done that recently for this new market, which they're keeping quiet at the moment as to what that destination is. We're familiar with the city's ability and university's ability to invest in something like that. So that's where organizations like ours come in to play that role. So we actually, along with Greater Iowa City, our two organizations have made the commitment on behalf of Johnson County, as well as a couple private sectors, to put up a little bit of funds for that guarantee if that market were to come to realization. And that's where I think our role is as economic development leadership and really digging into that and knowing from the business community, from the public community, those destinations, how secure that guarantee is. And if they don't need it after that 2 years, we'll get our money back. But if not, then it's a great investment for economic development to be able to go to a very tier one city direct from Eastern Iowa Airport.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's kind of also was fascinating to me that it's, you know, not, they don't ask specific towns, you owe us this much, you owe us this much. They just kind of say for the whole region, we want this much, and then it's up to us to decide how much we want to give.
Right.
So it's kind of like a joint discussion.
Yeah.
So part of me was, I would like to figure out our data, what we would be able to figure out from the routes, if we could figure out if the specific routes, trying not to say the route publicly, how much would be a fair amount for us in Iowa City? Like, how much does Iowa City itself, not Coralville, not North Liberty or Cedar Rapids, think that we are going to benefit from this?
Yep.
So how much would be fair for us to contribute? That's the equation I'm looking for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think, yeah, I don't know that I have an answer for that, other than I know that the university was looking at the same thing, because obviously the university, first and foremost, would be the primary user of that, followed by the citizens, which Iowa City, certainly there's some business, but it would be primarily leisure.
Mm-hmm.
And then what is the investment to a leisure fund versus a business economic development fund?
Mm-hmm.
There's definitely a difference there in terms of investment from leisure quality of life to business economic development for things like that. So I think they're in a good place right now. I mean, certainly McKinsey and Katie could speak to it as well, but I think we're on a really good path there, and they feel confident they've got what they need from our two organizations and some of the others we've aligned them with, like CIVCO and Robin, who's their commissioner.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Yep.
And I like what you're onto there about what's the fair share for making this good thing happen, this thing that does have a sustainability dimension. I know every time I go on Google Flights, it tells you how much carbon you can save by doing a direct flight rather than flying to Denver before you go to DC or whatever. But I like that thinking of, like, what's the fair way to make this happen?
Yeah.
I wanted to talk about Objective C because that's what I do. I talk about the river.
You do.
No, I am, you know, obviously this is a strategic action, or a city's strategic plan, pillar one of greater, better together. And it's complicated. You know, since I've been on council twice now, we've made substantial investments in things that impact the river, but we don't have a concept of what we want that river to do yet. So,
right.
I mean, just last night we said, let's go spend $660,000 on fixing the Iowa River Power Dam. I know we replaced a bridge behind Kelly Auto just a few months before that. And these things are all going to be done well. I have no concerns about them being done well, but they're all going to be onesie, twosie projects.
Piecemeal,
Yeah, piecemeal. They're not going to be a connected thought. So I'm anxious to get what this, everyone agrees, is important to a consultant who can put the whole thing together.
Mm-hmm.
And I get it. Like, I mean, there's a potable water dimension. There's an MPO dimension because it's parks and recs and trails. There's three cities and a university. And also, we have this really wonderful opportunity with the conservation bond. It seems like they would be the really great entity to maybe wrangle a consultant together. But can you speak to what are the actionable steps at putting together that plan? Unless I'm wrong about this, there has to be a consultant who can talk to all of these complex issues and bring it all together and come with a shared vision.
Yep.
But I don't think anybody's actually made that step yet to, like, get that consultant. How do we get there?
I think, quite honestly, Josh, I think you just outlined it. We did a little bit, I would call it a baby step, when we had the opportunity with Destination Iowa, the grant program, which obviously we were blocked out at. We did not achieve that goal, but that was the very first time that something kind of along that path happened, to where we went and hired RDG and we paid for it, and it was $20,000 or $30,000 or whatever we paid. But really the end product at that point was just to put together a single document vision that was a bit of that outlined all of this, all of the little dots along the river, and it showed it as a community plan. And it was like a pedal paddle proposal.
Yep.
And it outlined what's happening in Coralville, and then when you dip into Iowa City and you hit the university, and you go back into Iowa City down to Hills. But it was the first time that ever was done. And we outlined all of the projects, the state, how it could be funded. That needs to go five steps further to really put together a plan. And then I think we need not that we need another committee, but we need another committee that's made up of the various jurisdictions that really are charged with shepherding this. And in our plan, tasking us, and it's been said to us very clearly through the strategic planning process that this is a priority, and it'll be incumbent on us and probably our partners at Greater IC to lead this on behalf of the community, not just the cities, but the entire community. So I know that Nick is anxious to get rolling on this. We just ratified it in June, and I know how passionate you are about the river, particularly, and also the dam. And so I think that just has to happen. And so that'll be the steps we take in the coming months and in the coming year, is to build out that plan, and we'll find the funding to do exactly as you're suggesting.
Does the city have a needed investment in this financially, or is this a county or a Think Iowa City thing? I guess I'm asking is, should our budget that's being built right now have dollars specifically saying it's in our action plan, we're going to spend money on this, or is that something that's already covered by, again, the conservation bond seems like an obvious opportunity?
Yeah. I think, to be honest, it's to be determined. I think when you look at the plan and the scope, we need to get that solidified very quickly and understand what the need is. And if it's $50,000, $100,000, I think there are ways at which we can fund that. And obviously, if we run short or we need some support, piecemealing that out amongst three or four cities would be a small sliver in order to get that comprehensive riverfront plan. So, I don't know that I have that answer right now, Josh. We're going to have to solidify the scope with folks like you and obviously your peers at the other two cities.
Sure. No, thanks. I just, I'm just going to keep pushing.
I know you are. I love it. And trust me, I've told Nick Pfeiffer, make sure Josh Moe is in every one of these meetings.
I just want to talk about funding. So the hotel motel tax that's coming in, and thinking about what are this committee and the council as a whole may be able to do in assisting with that. I seem to recall, Josh, you and I had a conversation probably a few years ago now of like, how do we ensure that the hotel motel tax that it's being collected correctly, that it's being, submitted correctly? Is there political pressure that could be helpful around any of that? Like, just, can you speak to that a little bit?
Mm-hmm. Hotel motel tax, again, has been around in this community since 1980. It was passed at 5%, which was the maximum allowable under state law until 1993, at which time the legislature moved the cap to 7%. And it hasn't changed since 1993. So pretty much every community in the state, city, county, is at 7%. There's probably a few that are at 5. So that's what it is. Again, state law says it's a little gray, but it says you have to spend 50% of it on tourism efforts, quality of life things. So a lot of cities satisfy that obligation. Iowa City does. Coralville does. North Liberty does. They invest 25% into us to basically sustain and grow that pool. And then the other 25% in all three communities really is targeted towards Parks and Rec, which is certainly a great community, quality of life, important need. I mean, the trail systems here are second to none, right? So great investment. Same with University Heights, who recently passed not long ago with their one hotel, and Tiffin's hoping to do it. The other 50% is up to whatever the council deems appropriate for general fund. And since 1980, when I first got here, I went and looked at the microfiche, which was the way they did it back in the day, and found out on the newspaper articles how it was passed in Iowa City. And it was sold to the community that was going to fund an organization like ours, and it was going to support the police department, public safety efforts. And that hasn't changed. I believe 47.5% is for public safety efforts here in Iowa City that's targeted towards from hotel motel tax revenue. So certainly there's been discussions over the years as to whether or not there's other ways to fund those public safety efforts, and then to take those dollars and direct them into different areas that impact hotel motel and visitors and things like that. And that'll be a discussion I'm sure you'll continue to have over the years as a council. There are other cities that do it. Everybody does it a little bit differently, right? I know City of Cedar Rapids has always been a really good model in my mind in this respect. They have like four buckets, and they prioritize, the lead organizations that charge it. And then they have like an arts and culture bucket. Then they have a like a debt obligation bucket for things that tie into visitors, like what you do at Riverfront Crossings Park, the clamshell, those sort of projects. And I'm not totally for sure what the fourth one is these days. It's been a long time since I've been there. But, you know, I think if you looked at statewide, you know, nobody wants to, everybody is against raising taxes, and I understand that. But could the state of Iowa sustain a percentage growth in that? 100%. I mean, if you go to any other state in our peers, you're paying 12%, 10-12%, and aren't a hotel motel tax day. So there, I believe there's definitely could be additional dollars gathered from that. But there's other industries too that in other states don't happen in Iowa. You know, a restaurant tax, car rental tax, those kind of things aren't allowed here, and those are other industries that receive the visitors just as much of a hotel. Hotels will largely say, oh, we don't want to do it, we don't want to pay it, but hotels don't pay it, and that's important to note. Mm-hmm. It's a pass-through. It's no different than the sales tax, which is required by law, so it's essentially a hotel can make the same argument that if they wanted to dictate where those funds go, they should dictate where sales tax dollars go, because it's simply a pass-through. It's not coming out of their budget or their pro forma.
Were you done with your...
I don't know if I answered it, Laura. But
I actually it was kind of a different question. That was super helpful. Thank you. I was wondering about, like, operators actually paying in as they are supposed to, and is there, like, some auditing, or, you know, is that happening in the way that you think it should? Are there dollars left on the table?
Yeah.
That, you know, we could be engaging with operators. It was more that.
Yeah. I can't say that I believe there's anything nefarious happening with collections, but I've never heard of an audit on some of these things. So I think it's there are certainly times when hotels amongst Iowa City, Corva, others are late in their payments, and so it gets delayed or they don't pay for several months and then it's backfilled. But that's other challenges they're having with state and sales tax collections.
Okay.
You know, if you look over the past 40 years, there's definitely been continued sustainable growth with when we compare it monthly with the state averages. And so I think everything, again, I don't have no reason to suspect that there's any wrongdoing. I think the challenge came in a few years ago with Airbnb towards, like, how are those working? Because that's required. Mm-hmm. And then Airbnb kind of made it easy and just built it into their own. They took it out of the ownership's hands. Mm-hmm. And it gets paid by Airbnb, direct corporate, as opposed to these hotels all have the individual ability to submit with their sales and those kind of things.
Okay. Thank you.
I was just going to ask if you've talked with our local state representatives or our city lobbyist about gauging the temperature on, like you said, no one likes to raise taxes. I would like to raise taxes on the right people.
Yeah.
But the temperature in which the state house would be like, okay, we can about cranking up the cap for the hotel tax.
Yeah. There is zero interest in that at the state house right now.
Okay.
It's been talked about. The majority there will not even touch it. It's a non-discussion item.
Okay. I guess maybe I just thought because it would be a hotel motel tax, it might be a little bit different.
One of the arguments they make, and I believe there's some legitimacy to it, quite honestly, is they point to us and others, and they say that you're just going to tax rural Iowans who come there for health care. And there are definitely a strong percentage of health care hotel room nights in this market that people are staying. You know, that Heartland Inn right there by the Wig and Pin in Iowa City, Corva, right on the strip there, is a strong, strong rural health care hotel market. And so they use that, and they make that as an argument. And they also, the other argument I've heard is that, you know, it is people that want to come to the big city for a weekend, and it's folks from small rural Iowa that get a hotel room, and you're just taxing Iowans. So
it's pretty interesting how the same party wants to cut Medicaid and destroy rural health care. And then, anyways, I won't go on that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just wanted to, I thought maybe that tax might be a little bit, I don't know, different than property tax, less something that's on everybody's mind all the time. So I thought maybe there would be a wedge in there, but thank you for the context.
Yeah. One of the things we did get the legislature to approve at the 11th of 11th hours, truly at like 3:30 in the morning, the night they closed, was a huge win for our community and others, and that is what's called a major events tourism bill. And it set aside $4 million out of the gambling revenue fund for communities like ours to tap into, for the state to play part in bringing major events that bring national and international attention to our community. And a perfect example of this is we are close to finalizing a bid to host the Pan American Championships for wrestling, men's and women's wrestling in our community, which would bring between 31 and 40 South and Latin American countries here for a week to wrestle in. But it requires a state investment. You know, many of these states, our peers, are kicking our butt because they have a fund where they can tap into 20% of the overall operation budget and requirements, and that just passed in Iowa, and we're really close. I'm actually meeting with Director Durham on Tuesday to hopefully finalize the plan for that particular piece of business for a future year, and there are others, too, that will be made available to Iowa City and Coralville because of this fund, if we use it and do it right with our peers across the state.
I wanted to ask about the enhanced transportation options. I know we were all very interested and excited with the potential pop-up metro that mm-hmm. never materialized, and that's okay. The goal is to keep working towards that goal. What's the next thing? I mean, we just continue to talk about rail, or is there maybe a different or innovative thing that is being investigated that could be a different way of thinking about transportation that isn't the train? Or is it really just, let's keep trying to make the train happen?
No, I think being innovative and identifying all areas of opportunity are going to continue to be our priority, particularly in a strong cycling community where we can continue to advocate for bike lanes and all those sort of needs. But, you know, there's actually an appetizer that Katie could speak to that her and Nick Pfeiffer on the rail are looking at they have a meeting again, and it sounds like Alliant is open to exploring it to do at least start by using the rail for those recreational pedal
sure.
car situations that you see over in Boone. It sounds like they're a little bit more open to maybe starting there, right? And then baby steps. But really, I think our organization, Josh, too, is that's very much a support role and how we can help resource and make connections. It's probably not of all the things listed in our total expertise to lead on those things, those discussions.
Thanks.
Laura, wasn't it you who told me about, what was it? Was it Portland or Seattle's extremely cheap gondola?
Yeah, I think I forget what the public university in the city of Portland that has a, like the tram that goes above.
The Skyride or whatever they're called. Yeah,
the health campus with another part of the city.
There's actually a drawing, I've seen it somewhere, of one from Iowa City along Highway 6.
Well, when we're looking at, you know,
somebody drew one day,
tens of millions of dollars we're going to put into the Burlington Street Bridge.
Yeah.
It's something to think about.
And if you've ever walked up that hill from the river up to Law College or anything, you'd use one of those.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right.
Yeah.
Anything else?
I'm okay.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
Yeah. Thank you three very much.
All right. Let's move on to item 5, staff updates. Anything, Rachel? All right. Item 6, old or new business.
I just wanted to ask Rachel something we talked about, maybe, I don't know, time all runs together. Engaging this committee with developers and builders on just as some listening opportunities, some, you know, connection opportunities. I think we've all been having at least I've been having an increasing number of conversations with folks who seem really kind of in a place of believing the city of Iowa City is like anti-growth, anti-development, anti-building. And I think the current city council with our prioritization of affordable housing and the need to really, really, really increase supply, I think there's opportunities for maybe some course correction around that that would be helpful for all of us, both us to understand sort of what is coming from that community and what they're seeing on the horizon, how they're making decisions as far as prioritizing where things are happening and what we might be able to do, on the city side. So I just want to kind of renew that issue, plant that seed. That's something that I'm interested in doing through this committee if we can.
That's great suggestion. Great timing. I've just talked to Melanie Bimson with Greater Iowa City, and we talked about the same thing. So we're going to put our heads together, talk about what we've been hearing, and then we'll figure out how your committee can slot in.
Great. Thank you.
I was also just wanted to put out there that I've been thinking a lot about the Sycamore Mall area and am very much looking forward to and hearing good things about the progress that's already been made. So I'm just looking forward to that.
Nothing else. Look for a motion to adjourn.
Move to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All right. Thank you all. Thank you. Have a great day.
Thank you.